Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for the word. Thank you, Lord, for us entering in, Father God, with Greg and Kalia, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful praise and worship, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that we're entering into your word, Father God, right now. We just ask, Lord, that as I walk out my calling, Father God, that you use me, Father God, in whatever way you see fit, Father God, to feed the people tonight, Lord, what you've given me to prepare, Father God, for them, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for willing hearts. And we thank you, Lord, that your spirit will flow freely tonight in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So we're talking about Valentine's Day. So, so we didn't go out on Valentine's Day. We ended up going out on Friday. And I had made reservations for a restaurant that was actually our first date many years ago. What is it, about 5 years now, yeah? No, more than 5 years, almost seven, yeah? Wow, God's number, yeah, seven. So we made arrangements to go to Cafe Olé, and that was actually our first date, because that was the first night she gave me a kiss at the end of the night on my cheek as she was leaving the truck as I dropped her off. So that's our first date. So, you know, sentimental. I figured we go back to the same restaurant. I made reservations ahead of time, and so we ended up going to the restaurant, and I like to prepare ahead of time, because I like to have a nice setting. I like to have a nice view. I like everything to be so-so, you know? I'm just that way, you know what I mean? I don't like to do too many things. I like to do things sporadic, but I like to be prepared as well, you know? So we went, and then as we were walking in, they looked like they were having some problems, and so they said, oh, and then, you know, I said, oh, what's going on? And then they were like, oh, they're trying to sit people in a certain area. And, you know, being a waiter, I understand that, you know, they got to kind of divvy out all the clientele to everybody so that everybody has people to wait on, you know, and everybody can make money. So, of course, you know, not thinking, the lady said, well, are you guys pretty picky where you guys want to sit? And I was like, well, as long as it's not by a bathroom or a trash can, I think we'd be okay. And I got to say, Mandy, we probably had I don't want to say it in a bad way, but in my opinion, it wasn't the place where I wanted to sit, you know? And the whole night, well, most of the whole night, we're sitting down, yeah? And we're having dinner. And I'm going to borrow this real quick.
Cooperate with me, chair. I'm sorry.
So we're sitting down and we're having dinner, yeah? And I didn't really notice until we were doing this. So we're sitting down, and I'm sitting down, and I'm sitting across from my beautiful wife, and we're getting ready to order, and I see you're doing this, and this, and then I was like, oh, the sun is behind us. I don't know if you guys ever ate at Cafe Olé. They get those little, like those curtains, yeah? But where we were sitting, never have on curtains, so I was watching her, so like, every time she would move, I would move with her, so my shadow would move, so I would cover her, you know, so she wouldn't have to stare into the sun. But then Sunday, lo and behold, awesomeness, I tell you. Sunday, that night we got to go skating, which was something really cool, because we, ever since we got skates, I didn't get the chance to skate with my wife. But anyway, so that night was fun, but Sunday, we got to go to the movies after church, and that's not something we get to do very often. You know, we have three kids, we have a baby. Yeah, Ezekiel. Yeah, see, we have him. So it's like it's and Jedediah, and thank God for Sai. Oh my gosh, this guy, I tell you, oh my goodness. So we got to go work out actually. So my mother-in-law and my mom and dad, they got to watch the kids, and so you know, we got to go do our things, and so you know, I got tickets to the movies. And like I said before, I like to, you know, when I go to the movies, yeah, well, when I go any place, I want to sit in a certain area. So in my phone, actually, I have the perfect seats for both theaters, okay? So if you go to Maui Mall, you want to sit in row D, because row D is like the perfect spot. But if you go to Kahumanu, you want to go to row F. And if you go to row F, you go row F, 10 and 11, and you'll be like right here when you stay at Kahumanu. You stay like, you're not too close, And you're not all the way in the back. You sit, like, right in the middle. So you, like, it's almost like you're in the movie. So you're, like, so perfect, yeah? And it's funny because Pastor Herman said something on Sunday, and it really tied into my message. And I don't know if he knew this, but I'm sure the Spirit was using him. And he said, as Christians, we have the best view. We have the best view. And I'm going to go into the Word. We're going to start off in Ephesians 2. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. And we're talking about us having the best view as believers. And it goes like this. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses. How's that? He loved us even when we were in sin. Before anything, he loved us from the beginning of the world. The Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully created. We're created in the image of God. So he loved us in our trespasses. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but that's the best view that you can have. Sitting at the throne room with Jesus at the right hand of God. That's the best view. That's even better than F10 and 11 at Kahomana Center. That is the best view you can have, sitting with Jesus. So what does that mean for you and me? In Philippians 2, 6 through 11, yeah, it talks about Jesus. It talks about Jesus being on the throne. And it's saying, in this verse it says, now the name of Jesus is above, let's go there in fact. And if you get there before me, say amen, and I'll let you read it. Philippians 2. You got it? Cheryl, you got it? Let's go ahead and read it then. Let's go from Philippians 2, start at verse 6.
He was God. He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor, gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Now, we have authority now. We sit with Jesus, and his name is above every name in heaven, on earth, and in hell. Now, you catch where I'm going now, okay? So, we have the best view ever. And now, you know, view is kind of a thing to me. Seeing, you know, what you see, how you see. As far back as I can remember, yeah, is probably when I was born nearsighted, really bad eyesight. So when I grew up, I always sat in front of the TV, like super close. Yeah, Mom? In Happy Valley, man, I was always like, and my mom, guys, I guess you guys just didn't think too much of it. My kids do it too, but their eyes are okay. But it wasn't until I was in the second grade that they figured out to just, you know, take me to the doctor, get my eyes checked out, I guess. I don't know, things were different back then. And I remember the first time, yeah, I got my glasses, Pastor Herman. Oh, it was super cool, man. It was like I was a superhero or something. I got the glasses, and I put them on, and I was like, whoa, check this out. And I remember my friend Derek, yeah? You know which one I'm talking about, Mel. I had my glasses. I was like, Derek, you got to try these out, man. You know what I mean? So I give him the, you know, not knowing that his eyes were fine, you know? But it wasn't until I was 34. In fact, this month, 10 years ago, February 12th, I got my laser surgery, and I got my eyes. And now my eyes are 10, 15. So my vision and my view is a lot better, which before it was blurry. And sometimes as believers, we can have blurry vision. And I'll show you a scripture. We can walk our Christian life. We can go to church, pray, you know, do everything we do, yeah? And things happen, yeah? And then our vision get blurry, and we think, oh, God's not there. You know, we do what we do. We pray, we cast down spirits, we do everything. In Habakkuk 3:17 through 19, and I'm going to read this, okay? You know what, Pastor? This is funny, because this kind of lines up with my sermon tonight. This little thorn in our side, yeah? You know, Pastor was here with me till 11 o'clock at night trying to fix this thing. You know that? He didn't tell me to say that, but you know what? He's not the kind of guy that just points the direction. He's the kind of guy that, hey, let's go fix this, and he gets going too. You know, that wasn't part of my message, but that's the truth, you know? And I appreciate that. But in Habakkuk 3:17 through 19, the New Living Translation, it says, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. Now, I got this scripture as one of my devotional scriptures a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, why would that be a devotional scripture? You know what I mean? Like, really, like, when everything seems like it's going bad, yeah, I will rejoice no matter what because of you. It matters how you look at things, okay? Like Pastor Herman said, we have the best view, yeah? When you're going through something, yeah, if you don't like what you see, yeah, change your view. When I unpatched the ceiling, yeah, I went and looked at the ceiling, and I was like, you know what? I don't like the way that looks. We need to change the view. So, you know, this is actually good, you know? There's something good is going to come out of this. This is the best that I could do, that's why. And I'm not happy with it. So something is going to happen. It has to, right? It has to. So we just trust in God that when things don't work out the way we think they're supposed to go, God's got a better plan. Because he's got the best view, right? He's got the best view. A couple months ago, Ezekiel left. I was going to grab him. It's okay. From the day we brought that guy home, man, he's done nothing but cry. Man, he's got a good set of lungs on him, yeah? Bring him up here. Let me hold him real quick. And from the get-go, I was like, let's find out what's going on. You know, let's do something about this, you know? And so, you know, I'm always trying to find a way to, let me have him. Help Daddy preach. So, you know, we prayed about it. Of course, we prayed about it. Of course, we prayed. We speak the word. We do all of that stuff, you know? It's not just stuff. It's just, this is our lifestyle. We do that. We believe. We're believers. That's our view. We believe God for everything we do. And almost a year would pass by, and same thing. They tell everybody hi. Okay, next time then. And so one night it got really bad, pastors. I mean, it got really bad. And like, you know, I'm ashamed to say that I didn't rise to the occasion the way I should have. I got mad. I was just mad. I was like, oh, this guy is screaming. You guys probably hear him on Sundays once in a while. He screams, like, pretty loud screaming. So he's screaming at the top of his lungs. So then after I got mad, we prayed. Prayed, laid hands on him, we believed. We said, okay, this thing is done already. Enough already. Yeah? Enough. And he was in pain, so we took him to the emergency room. And the doctor told us, oh, he has gas. And I was like, yeah, I know he has gas. I knew he had gas a long time ago. We asked you guys to give us an acid. They said, no, and I can give him that, blah, 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 this and that, whatever. So anyway, I said all that out to say this. The next day, yeah, I had to change my view now, okay? Even though we prayed for him, we laid hands on him, you figure, oh, yeah, boom. Elder Chemo, laid hands on his kid, healed, right? We can part the Red Sea. Yeah, we stayed up with him pretty much the whole night, you know? And I went to work the next day. I was like, I'm not going to let this thing go. And I went to go work for my friend, and for some reason, I just started talking to her about Ezekiel. And come to find out, she used to be a nanny before, and she's much older than even my mom. Nice lady. And she said, you know, my great-granddaughter had a similar situation, and I gave her oat milk. Did I tell you guys about this? Did I? This is the first time I'm saying this, yeah? You know, almost every time I come up here, I think I've said, like, a story the same time, three times over. But, you know, this time it was major because, you know, this poor little guy, he's just, you know, suffering, eh? So she said, you should try oat milk. Anybody ever heard of oat milk before? You ever heard of oat milk? I mean, you're from Pennsylvania. That's like a mainland thing, right? Oat. Oat, like oatmeal. Like oatmeal. So you guys have all heard of soy and rice milk and almond milk and all that other milk, yeah? Like even hemp milk. I never heard of oat milk. So it's like, okay, we go try this thing out. Jaime, this guy went to sleep all the way through the night. I had to wake him up the next morning. And he's been sleeping good every night ever since. You know, sometimes we pray, yeah? And we're looking for the spectacular, and we miss the supernatural. Because, okay, I'll let you try to figure out, Scott, you're probably good with numbers, yeah? What is the reality of that even remotely happening by accident? That I would talk to her about my child having a sore stomach, and she telling us to take this. That's got to be God. I give him all the glory for that. Because I could never, man, I probably would have passed by oat milk in the store like a million times, not even think one thing. Now, of course, yeah, oat milk, nobody in this whole church has ever heard of oat milk, right? Not one, yeah? That's God. I went to Whole Foods at first, and then Target had it, and then Foodland in Wailuku. But you know what is the funny thing, yeah? These guys are all selling out of this stuff. So you know what? It's time for us to up our faith and believe that, you know what? Whatever is causing this thing, yeah? To just enough. Because our view is elevated. You know what I mean? That can go on for just a little while, and then we got to step it up. Because we're seated with Christ. Above all principality, power, might, and dominion. Every name that is named, right? We are. We have authority. We're seated with Christ. Our position as believers is one of a joint seating with Christ in heavenly places. That may not always be our circumstance, but that is our position. It might not look that way, but that's where we're at. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. So if we're seated with Jesus, ain't nothing going to touch us, right? If we want to rise above our circumstances, we must take advantage of our position in Christ. We need to. In Colossians 3, 1 through 2, it says, so if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Sometimes that's easy to do, yeah? You're going through stuff and it's like, oh man, this is in front of me. This is what I got to deal with. And just, God will take care. God's got it now. God's got it. You know, and you do what you can. But that's not the case. If you don't like what you see, you change your view and get a better view. Oh, look at it from a different angle. Oh, well. Because sometimes you're looking at it in an angle where it's impossible. But if you look at it through the impossible, we serve a God that, man, he turned water into wine. I mean, Peter walked on water. I mean, he raised Lazarus from the dead. I mean, come on. The list can go on and on. Not just in words that we read in the Bible, but in things that God has done in your life. Right? God got me on, what are you focused on? In other words, is this my best view? Whatever I'm going through, is this my best view? With Ezekiel going through that, with him crying every night and us having to console him and trying to figure out what was going on, that wasn't the best view. It wasn't. Not too many of you knew that was going on with us, right? Did I ever call him and go, oh man, his kid, I tell you. Ah! We were going through. And that's the key. We go through, right? We don't stay there. And we give glory. We give God the glory when we go through, right? Our position in Christ is already accomplished. It is an accomplished fact. So we already said that. But we need to exercise our authority. Just because we're seated with Christ, it doesn't mean things come to us automatically, right? I mean, I know that there's situations, there's things that happen that people will bless you and things will happen, but there's an exercise, and there's our part and there's God's part, right? We know that, right? So we need to exercise our faith. In James, the second chapter, it talks about faith without works. Now, I could read about James 2 from 14 to 26, but I don't want to. Because you know what? Some of us know how to work. Some of us got 3 jobs, 4 jobs, 5 jobs, man. He must be Jamaican or something. Look at Ruben, this guy, he's got like 3 jobs? God bless you, man. God bless you. Some of us know how to work. Some of us know how to do work. Some of us know how to maneuver things. I'm guilty, man. I'm guilty. I know if something's not working my way, I can fandangle my way into getting something to work. But how many of you know if it's not God, it's dead? The Bible says faith without works is dead. Sometimes we get the cart before the horse, right? We get the work going, and then we go, oh, God, I got to believe God that he will just come into the situation and do what needs to be done. That's not the right way to do it. The Bible says faith without works is dead. It has to be faith first. And if it's faith, faith will make you go into the work, but it's going to be in faith. And we know that faith is the only thing that pleases God, not works, right? Not works. No matter what we do, no matter what we do for God, if it's not in faith, it doesn't please him, and it's only works. And I only say that with much gusto is because I understand that. I know, okay? Faith without works is dead. There's an order. Faith has to be first. You know, we started going to the gym. I talked about the gym the last time I ministered, and I said that, my brother guy started going, we started going, and then we stopped going, and then it was just one of those things that just, you just get that $10 taken out of your checking account every month. You don't even think about it. But then the desire is still there to be better. You know, my view is, I'm not getting this gym membership so that I can just become Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know? But I do want to better my life. And so we started going again. I'm so excited. We just started going. And in my mind, I'm just going to tell you, just in the natural, like, Pastor Herman, I would rather look like you started going to the gym than look like me, you know? But we know that I'm not going to get to look like you until I start going to the gym, right? I got to change my view, okay? So this natural thing, we started going, yeah, babe, and it's fun. Like, we went this Sunday, in fact. Oh, man, it was so good, man. You know, and at first, you get sore. You know, I seen these guys one time, yeah? You know, you guys go all the time, too, and it's like, you know, it takes a while. You know, you exercise your body, and it's not like overnight, boom, you know? It takes time. And sometimes these things with God, you believe in God, you're in faith, and you're doing the work, and you get frustrated. You're like, oh, no, it's not happening. You know, the olive tree is empty, and no more grapes on the vine, no more, and then boom, you know? And then your eyes get changed. And it's like, the Bible says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. We all know that scripture. Don't despise the start of small beginnings. And I got to tell you this, wherever you're at, and this is not, my gym story is basically a metaphor for the spirit, okay? Whatever you're in faith for, it's, if you don't start now, it's like this. Next year, you're going to wish you started today. Oh, yes. All right. Next year, this time, you'll be like, oh, man, if I would have started, and I would have kept on going with it. Even if I would have missed a couple days, I just kept going, kept believing, kept standing in faith, kept changing my view, because I'm seated with Christ. It doesn't matter what I can see in front of me right now. I know God's got the big picture. God's got the big picture. God can see. And if I step up there with him, and take my position where I'm supposed to be, seated with Christ, I'll see it his way. I'll see it his way instead of seeing it my way, instead of keep doing it what I want to do. And I mean, you know, you guys all looking at me. There's things I got to do. There's things you guys got to do, right? It's none of my business. It's none of your business. It's between us and God, right? And we just working, right? And what I want to do, yeah, is now that we've established, yeah, well, you guys knew that. You guys knew that you were seated with Christ. But let's just seal this in stone. Let's just put the mortar on the block. And let's pray this, okay? In Ephesians, yeah? Ephesians 1, yeah? I'm going to pray this over this congregation, okay? I pray that there will be a release in the Spirit to everyone, that their eyes will be open, the eyes of your understanding, to do what God has called you to do. Because once the eyes of your understanding is opened, yeah, it's not going to be no shame anymore. It's not like walking to the gym. You know, when I walked into the gym, when the first couple times, I was like, oh, man, I feel like everybody's looking at me like, oh, man, like, oh, he's lifting them. Oh, he's lifting them wrong, you know, and all shame, you know, that your view will change in whatever God has called you to do. And this is, you know, it's kind of hard to preach this to the Wednesday night crowd because you guys are all doing something already anyway. This is the dedicated few, you know. You guys are all involved already, so whatever. There's always more. That's right. There is always more. There is always more. So let's pray this in Ephesians. It says, it's going to pray this. I pray that the God of my Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards me, who believes, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ. And then this is the key now. When he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, that's you and me, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So you saw that. We're seated with him in heavenly places, and all of this is ours. So let's walk in it. Amen? And that's all I got tonight. And I hope you guys are